This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our work through the Psalter, considering Psalms 123 through 127. I lift up my eyes, our help is in the name of the Lord, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, home with shouts of joy, and unless the Lord builds the house. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God,
have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to for the peace of God and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, your mercy attends us all our days. Be our strength and support amid the wearisome changes of this world and at life's end. Grant us your promised rest. Amen.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 7. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Amen.
Be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, on any given day, my mind feels split into about 100 different places, forced to think about 100 different problems all at once. As a pastor, I think about the flock that God has entrusted to my care, those who are hurting, those who are hiding, those who are drifting, those who are drawing just a little bit closer. And I think about where God is leading our congregation at Bethlehem, and I think about the enormous building that he has also entrusted to us. And at Bethlehem, that means a chimney that might fall down at any given point, and a collapsing roof that might leak just a little bit as well. But more importantly than those things, I am also a husband and a father. And I'm responsible for providing, protecting, forming my boys and shaping them, raising them in the faith. And in each of these vocations, there are always things that happen that remind me that I'm never quite enough, that I don't have the intelligence or the patience, the endurance, or the strength to carry all of these things. I'm always falling just a little bit short, even as I take on more and more. And maybe you can relate. And these thoughts, they all pile up. They divide your brain, they fray your nerves, and I guess it would be okay if they just stayed up here bouncing around in your head. But they seem to do more than that. All of these things, they become little weights that press down on your shoulders. And they stack a mile high, yet they are close enough to whisper directly into your ear, you're just not enough. You know, the strange thing is, this isn't really a crisis of faith when this happens. Because, you know, we still love our Savior. We confess him as Lord. We have no desire to walk away from him in these things. And yet we still live as though everything depends on us. That we need to hold it and control it and manage it. And if we don't, it will all just fall apart. But if we're holding everything, then what is God doing? You know, all these things we try to contain and control, they are almost like forbidden fruit. One bite and we'll be just like God. It's idolatry of a different kind. It's a creative breaking of the first commandment, placing ourselves in the center, holding all things together. And there is an ancient lie buried under all of this. And it's the same one that was whispered there in the garden, that you can be like God. And not in the obvious ways. I don't wake up in the morning wanting people to worship me. I'm sure neither do you. But I do wake up believing, at least for a little while, that if everything is going to be okay in my day, in my world, in my life, then I had better keep it all in balance. I need to hold every single thread. And that's the lie. Because if I'm holding everything together, what in the world am I trusting God with? And maybe that's why Jesus begins this text the way he does. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding. And you've revealed them to little children. Now, little children know something we adults spend our lives forgetting. They know they need help. They know they can't carry everything, reach everything. They know where to run when they are feeling tired. And faith, it's not mastering self-sufficiency, it's abandoning it completely. And this might be why Jesus turns to us and speaks those familiar words of comfort at the end of our text, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, Jesus doesn't say, "Come to me when you've figured it all out or when you've finally found that balance." He simply says, "Come." And I think that little word exposes every idol we've been carrying. Because Jesus isn't inviting us to better time management or healthier boundaries in our life or improved coping skills when things go wrong. He's inviting us to stop trying to be God. To stop pretending that everything depends on us. To stop living as though the world will somehow come undone if we loosen our grip even for a second. Because the embarrassing truth is we were never holding it together. St. Paul reminds us of that in Colossians. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That he holds the universe together. He holds his church together. He holds your family and you together. What freedom there is in finally admitting to that truth. I know the old Adam, it hates that kind of confession. He keeps reaching for that same forbidden fruit, convincing that becoming a little more like God will finally bring peace. It never does. It only leaves us more bent, more exhausted. And when our strength finally gives out, we finally discover that is where Christ never has. Think again about those burdens that we carry. All those worries, those expectations, those impossible standards, responsibilities, all whispering, you're not enough. We've piled them all onto our shoulders until they've become a mountain that we were never meant to carry. It's no wonder we're tired. It's no wonder that we're just a little bit anxious during the day. But to the one who is weighed down under that mountain, Jesus says, come. He doesn't ask us to carry, organize, or manage it better. He stoops beneath it himself and bears it for us. Every fear, every failure, every sinful attempt to be our own God. Everything we were never created to carry. He gathers all of them onto his own shoulders. The weight that was crushing us now presses down on him. And then with his face set like flint toward Jerusalem, he trudges toward Calvary. And the shoulders that carried the lost sheep now carry the sin of the world. The one in whom all things hold together allows himself to be held to a cross, crushed beneath the weight of our rebellion. And for a moment, it looks as though everything is falling apart, as if we shouldn't have let any of it go. And darkness covers the earth, the disciples scatter, creation itself groans. But that is precisely where Christ is putting everything back together. And with one final cry, it is finished. He brings your guilt, your striving, your sin, and your impossible burden to an end. That crushing weight that was meant to kill you dies with him and stays behind forever. Buried as he walks out alive. And for the first time in a long time, your back, bent from bearing all of these burdens, can finally straighten up to see a risen Savior holding the keys to death itself. We don't need to fear this exchange that he suggests. Jesus tells us that he is gentle and lowly in heart. He is the kind of king who stoops, the kind of shepherd who carries, the kind of Savior who bears what belongs to us and gives us what belongs to him. He invites us to come to him over and over again for this kind of rest. And how fitting that these words are spoken in a service where our Lord does exactly what he promises. Come to me. It's a sacramental invitation. Where you sit now, you might be a bit weary. You might feel heavy laden. with those feelings, you come to this altar. You come with divided minds and anxious hearts. You come with burdens stacked a mile high, and Christ does not place yet another one on your shoulders. Instead, he places himself into your hands. His body given for you, his blood shed for you, the crucified and risen Christ who has already carried everything that threatened to crush you, now feeds you with his own life. True rest that you can taste. Now, tomorrow I know the chimney at church will continue to buckle. It will need attention. The roof may still leak. The congregation will still have hurting people. Your family, your job, your assignments will still need you too. As the old Adam whispers that everything depends on you, and yet you're not enough. And you'll feel again that it is too much and you don't have enough in you. But Christ has the final word. Come to me. Not because any of those burdens aren't real, but because they are not yours to carry. This is what Jesus teaches us under his yoke. Not how to carry more, but how to stop pretending we're the ones carrying the world. He is, he always has been, and he always will be. So as you go, let him be God. That is your rest. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Mindful of God's many blessings to us and thankful for the gift of salvation, let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, your Son Jesus invited us to take up his light and easy burden and so find rest for our souls. Grant peace of mind to all who are weighed down by the troubles of this life, that they may know your peace which passes all understanding. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of the nations, we praise you for keeping this nation under your care. Sustain our leaders and give them a sense of urgency to carry out their duties in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Sustain those in every need. Bless those who mourn that they may be comforted. Bring healing and relief to those who are ill in body or spirit. And grant peace to the brokenhearted. According to your great mercy, grant them rest that comes only from Jesus. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Be present, O Lord, in the homes where our people dwell. Give husbands and wives grace to be faithful to each other. Protect our children from the influences of sin as they grow up, that they may learn to trust solely in you. Bind together all families and instill in them a love for you and for one another. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Forgiving Lord, as we receive the body and blood of the Savior in the Holy Supper of your Son, give us repentant and trusting hearts, that we may receive this heavenly food for pardon and peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
As we continue our pilgrimage on earth, encourage us with the example of the saints who have gone before and now share your glory. When our last hour comes, graciously receive us also into your everlasting kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
of Christ. This precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith from now until life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen.